Welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. I'm your host, Sarah Stratton, and we are about to talk about a lot of numbers and maybe say some goodbyes.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Okay, how to even begin? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We are, of course, going to do our show where we talk about all the numbers in the box office, some highly disappointing ones from this weekend, what's coming out next week. We're going to play some games, but we also have some announcements.
Oh, yeah.
How do you begin? If you guys saw our show last week, you might have heard a bit of a farewell message slash hiatus, and that is for myself, JTE, and Tom. We have been having some scheduling issues. As you might have noticed, we are on Tuesday right now instead of Monday. We have loved it here. We love the Popcorn Talk. We love it. Sister Networks, BHL, AfterBuzz. Everyone's been amazing. But we are just too busy.
Well, you know, people are just, it's tough. You know, it's like I said last week, this show, you have to do it within 2 days. It's only a 2-day window. Mm-hmm. You can't sit back on doing a Thursday night because everybody knows the numbers already by then. Mm-hmm. It's contingent on that, so it's tough, you know?
But this will be able to find us elsewhere. I'm still on, if you go to AfterBuzz, I do Game of Thrones. Yep. I do Anatomy of a Movie. JTE also has shows he does.
Yeah, you can still find me, obviously, me and Finn Stocker on Schmoes every once in a while. Yeah. Screen Junkies, my own YouTube channel, JTE Movie Thinks. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, @SchmoesJT. We're still going to be around. I love Popcorn Talk. You know, when we started this, like, it's been almost 2 years now. It's insane.
It's damn close to 2 years.
I can't believe it's been that long. It feels like I've only been doing it for a few months. Because I had so much fun coming here every week and doing it.
Yeah, it was just working with you guys on a consistent basis, you know, and giving, you know, the fans what they were looking for. And, you know, it's tough with a box office show. It's not very entertaining because you all talk about numbers, but we made it entertaining for people and, you know, tried to bring the best funny forward. And I think we did a good job of that.
And you all have met Steven before. He's guested on our show and he is working so hard to find. He already has people lined up, great options who are going to take over this show, who know their stuff, who are fun, intelligent, and have their own kind of spin on how the box office should be talked about. Mm-hmm. So Steven's probably going to keep you guys updated on that later in the week. I'm really excited just by hearing the options they've said. Some people that I really respect.
I'm excited to
see
where they take, because we took the show and we made it our own. Mm-hmm. And I think whoever comes in is going to do the same exact thing. They're going to make it their own. It's going to bring a lot of new energy to the show, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out.
It's going to be a little different, but just give it a couple weeks and they will warm up.
Are they going to frame that booty dough shirt? I mean, they should frame everything.
They should frame that.
I know.
I had to wear a sports bra under it, though, because
I know. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I mean, I cut it to your dimensions, obviously, but the dimensions in my head are a hell of a lot different than the dimensions in your head.
Your dimensions are not camera friendly.
No, they're not anybody.
Or like
they're not anybody
public
friendly.
Exposure friendly. Yeah,
they're not anybody
they're
friendly.
In my house friendly. But
maybe JT. Maybe we could have like a plaque outside with that shirt.
Just with this shirt.
I'll get something and then JT will give something and we'll put it in the Smithsonian or something
like that. Maybe, you know, we could murder little Bobby and put him in there too.
He's already in a box.
Oh, great.
He's coming in from Ethiopia. He's back. He's back next week on the Schmoes.
How wonderful.
He's going to have a big interview.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, I think we could probably reminisce about this show for quite some time. Yeah. But instead, let's actually do one of our shows and get started talking about these numbers. And what a weekend to do it on. Mm-hmm. The holiday weekend. We'll talk about the 3-day and 4-day numbers. But it's the same list. So number five does go to Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. If you're talking about the 4-day weekend, it comes out to 11 million. Mm-hmm. But on the 3-day weekend, it's at 9, which is about a 58% drop.
Big drop off.
It's a disappointing
number.
Who
cares? Yeah. No one likes this movie.
I liked it.
You did?
Did you
People
see it?
Say it's funny.
Did you see it?
I've heard. Okay. The advertising for this was like, it's the funniest comedy of 2016.
Of course, every comedy does that.
No,
though.
But it like did it in a different way where it wasn't even like they were saying it. They were saying like the critics were labeling that. Ugh, I've heard horrible things.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay.
Number four, Captain America Civil War for the 3-day total, bringing in 15 million, dropping 54%. For the 4-day total, 20 million. So just getting an extra 5 there.
That's way more than I thought it would.
Angry Birds at number 3 from Sony, bringing in 18.7. with a 51% drop for the 3-day, and for the 4-day, 24.5. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the interesting movies of the weekend.
Yeah.
Number Bombs two. And not a number to be really smiling about. Alice Through the Looking Glass. In its 3-day, brought in $28 million, and in its 4-day, brought $33 million. This is with an $170 million budget. It is the sequel to Alice in Wonderland, which opened to $116 million, and you still have a lot of the same cast coming in. So we'll talk about
Tim Burton.
What happened? Yes, and what happened to that movie? And then number one did go to X-Men Apocalypse. Bringing in $65 million for the 3-day,
I said 3-day, 65,
79 for the 4-day weekend. So taking in most of the money for the box office on an $178 million budget.
So much to talk about. I think we should start with Alice.
With Alice.
What the hell happened?
Nobody, it's Johnny Depp. Nobody wants to see this guy.
Was Johnny Depp really what brought people in the first film? I think it was more Alice in Wonderland. You knew the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alice Through Looking Glass is I never even knew they made a sequel to Alice in Wonderland.
I think it's just a fake. It's just something made up.
No, it's part of the.
It's part of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I understand. But I will just say, no one I've ever met that saw the first one said it was good.
It's a terrible movie.
It's one of those movies where everyone just took their kids to see it, and I don't remember anyone saying, ooh, I love that movie.
And a big thing people were talking about is when Alice in Wonderland came out, it was during the whole kind of 3D craze.
Right.
People wanted to see the look of that movie.
It was riding the Avatar wave.
Yes, and then Anne Hathaway felt bigger. Maya, whatever her last name is, was kind of a rising star at the moment.
Mia Wasikowska.
Good luck saying good luck. That one. Like Helen Bonham Carter, it is all the same people, but it's been time. The look of it isn't as exciting.
Yeah.
It is a whole new story. I don't know how much Johnny Depp's personal life might have affected this box office.
We'll get to that in a second. I actually got Disney was nice enough to give me a screening for this movie, and I'm so appreciative of them. You know, they let me do press screenings now, and I hate reviewing these movies when they're this bad because it was bad. Like, have you seen it? You shouldn't. I'm glad you guys didn't.
I saw it.
You saw it? Okay, there let me go, tell you Steven. Something, Steven. The movie makes no sense. There's no, like, three-story structure. Alice, to me, was the villain of the movie. Everything she was doing was bad. It was like a spoiled little brat. In the commercial, Sacha Baron Cohen is supposed to be like the villain. I'm just like, this guy just trying to do his job, and this girl's going around messing up the time continuum, and it was so bad. And Johnny Depp needs to stop. I don't know what he's doing.
Listen,
he made a right turn with Black Mass. At least he still had a lot of makeup on, but at least he was doing something in the realm of possibility.
Sure.
The movies I like from him the most are movies like Donnie Brasco.
Of course.
Even
Blow,
Public Enemies. Like some of these movies where he's just being a good actor, playing good real characters. I do not like any of these movies.
Just goes
where
for paychecks.
I won't give it to. I do like some of them. Like I was on board for Pirates for a little bit.
Listen, I'm okay with the first Pirates. He's great. He's phenomenal. He was an Oscar nominated, but that's like a fun summer movie. He's doing these characters where it's just. Nothing about them is fun or interesting. They're just weird for the sake of being weird, and I don't get it.
There's nothing that's grounding him to the audience. No.
Oh, my God. Matt Hatter in this movie is so stupid. And the whole plot for this movie is because he's sad. And she's like, I'm going to go fix time and make you not sad. And I'm like,
my ridiculous. God. I think another reason why, I mean, it doesn't have Wonderland in the title. Like, people know that
stuff.
I know,
that's what I'm
saying. Put Alice in the Wonderland Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah, I think it would have made...
Probably would have made an extra $20 million. People are so stupid. I can't say Disney's stupid because they make a lot of money. But this was who knows, this might have been a tax shelter
movie. This did not work. Yeah. It bombed. Rotten Tomatoes has a 30% critics, 59%.
I think it's doing okay internationally, so
it'll get a little
don't worry about Disney.
Disney always wins.
Yeah, they're okay.
I believe they have like 3 of the top grossing movies for 2016 so far. Disney is completely fine. But going on a little bit, let's talk about X-Men Apocalypse. Not also getting the best reviews, 48 from critics. Rotten Tomatoes still has it at 74 from audience.
I was really disappointed with this movie because I loved Days of Future Past. I think it might be my favorite X-Men movie, right up there with X2. This movie, I went in even with low expectations because the trailers have not been great. And I think that shows a little bit why the box office for this wasn't that great. And I mean, some people saying like, I believe the first one, Days of Future Past, not the first one, the last one, opened up at like around 112 million. And that movie was not only loved by the audience, but by critics. So usually when you're coming off something that's a critical hit and a hit with the audience, that sequel, whether it's good or not, usually will open really big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the problem is, what's one thing missing from this movie from the last one? Because First Class opened at $55 million.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Decent. It was kind of a reboot. Days of Future Past, 112. This one, 79. What's missing from First Class and Apocalypse that was in Days of Future Past?
Patrick Stewart.
No? Patrick Stewart, true. It was good to have, but Hugh Jackman was all over Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
That one little thing, he was not front and center for this whole movie. And at one point in advertising,
wasn't even in the trailers.
There was one trailer where they showed his claws. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, he's going to be in it a little bit. But when you got Days of Future Past, and I do think the fact, like you said, Stephen, they did bring all the old cast back.
Yeah.
But all of them, including Wolverine, front and center, it just brings that movie to a whole other level. I think First Class hit $55 million because they didn't recognize anybody. And this one, yeah, you have them in it, but you don't have the original crew.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
Right. I think you're right. I think when, you know, a lot of times, you know, they think they're just, they throw X-Men on the title of this thing and watch it make a ton of mm-hmm. money. It's just not, it's not going to happen anymore. The audience is getting a hell of a lot smarter.
Hugh Jackman.
And it's proven in a lot of these movies.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman is a bona fide star, especially when he's playing Wolverine.
Absolutely.
Always. He is Wolverine.
He is Wolverine.
I said it was at 65, so call me crazy.
I guarantee you, if he was in, like, had a big role in this film, well, like he did in Days of Future Past, he was throughout the trailers, this thing would have made an
What's your overall review of this film?
It's a mess.
You give it a full mess? I don't give it a full mess.
I don't give it a full mess because it's so weird because I was talking about this in my review. There's moments that if you just showed me this outside of the movie, you cut that part out and said, oh, that's really good. But when all these ingredients are put together, it didn't work. Like, and it didn't work when all put together.
Mm.
There's moments where the movies go from drama to comedy to drama in such quick succession that you're just like, what just happened? Like, what is happening in this movie?
Yeah, it was super weird.
It was super weird.
I thought it was choppy, but I didn't give it a complete mess. But I think that's because it has my favorite mm-hmm. X-Men characters in it a little bit.
Let me ask you this.
Very reliant on that.
What did we learn about Xavier, Magneto, and Jennifer Lawrence's character Mystique that we didn't learn in the last two
I guess
movies?
That's the thing, is I didn't care as much about the character because I was tired of seeing them. My favorite X-Men is Jean Grey. So I was just like waiting for her
Sophie Turner the entire time. She was okay.
Yes, but I felt like Jennifer Lawrence was checked out of this movie.
I don't know what she's doing in this movie.
She doesn't care.
It's a paycheck.
She's checked out.
Paycheck.
And I'm kind of over the Magneto storyline. He's already arced enough for me. So I was more interested in the other characters, but so I didn't care as much.
What other characters were you able to jump over to and be more interested in, because no one really...
I think you should have been interested in Apocalypse, but they just gave him such a crap backstory in this version of it.
He was the mummy.
Yeah.
Basically, he was the mummy from the Mummy
Movies. He really was.
But blue.
Frame for frame.
Did it bother anyone else that it was just him and his four horsemen sitting on a desert somewhere just doing nothing for 30 minutes of the film?
Yeah, and also I really thought they could have done a lot better with how he acquired his four mm-hmm. horsemen. Like how he...
It's like just taking whatever's available.
Really annoying.
It was just the movie. Like I said, there were moments in the movie. There's a scene early. I don't want to spoil anything, but like where Magneto's in the woods, and there's a great mm-hmm. things that happen. And there's other moments with like Wolverine, that one little cameo he has, you saw from the trailer. There's moments with each character that I'm like, oh, that's a really cool moment if it was in another movie. But when all put together, it was just a mess.
I think you're right.
No new character development.
If you're really following mm-hmm. each character's arc, there's not something really to cling on to.
Because
there's a ton of people that they kind of put an essence of what they're going through, but you don't really connect with anyone and what's happening.
The first movie, Xavier and Magneto are friends, and then at the very end, Magneto kind of goes bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go off, and Mystique is torn between mm-hmm. which way to go. She even ends up going to Magneto at the end of First Class. The second one is all about the battle for Mystique and which way she's going to go. And then you got Xavier and, again, Magneto. Magneto, he's already bad at that point, and he's like in that camp. And then when you get into this movie, it's like they took those arcs from the first two movies and just repeated them in a shorter amount of time, and it didn't make any sense.
I agree with that.
Happens all the time.
I could go off on
that. Let me ask something box office related, though.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you think that, like, in your personal opinion, like,
mm-hmm.
I was excited about this movie until I started hearing the reviews about it.
Of course.
Do you think if they had kept the reviews more tight under wraps, it would have had a better opening?
It's interesting because they did a screening like 3 weeks before, like the critics screenings 3 weeks before it came out. And usually that's a sign that it's, they're really excited about what the product they have. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, they did Civil War. They knew they had a good movie, so they let it out early. Yeah, and all my friends that saw it early before me all came and said, ooh, not very good. Like, but not horrible, but not very good. Especially when you're coming off Days of Future Past, which a lot of people consider to be the best.
But I think that also, they really had to target their one weekend and really prep for it. Because they don't have a window to really rule the box office for a while. I mean, Angry Birds, Neighbors, they had this weekend. Next weekend, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which who knows how much that will do. We have Meat for You. Like, they're just rolling in. So I think they had to try and hit it with the biggest force they could.
But they really didn't have much competition this weekend. Everyone thought Alice was going to be competition, and it turned out not to be.
Alice should have been bigger competition, though. When you're planning for a release of a movie, you know, 7 months before, and you're competing against something that opened to 116, where your last movie opened to, what was it?
115.
Yeah, like, that does, you do think there's competition. Even with tracking, they thought that Alice would be higher than this.
I think
this is a bomb.
I think the mix of reviews not being good, not having Wolverine front and center, and the trailers honestly not being that great.
And there's been like 30 superhero movies in like the last 2 months.
Yeah, that's another question people are bringing up with Civil War and Batman v Superman. Is there some fatigue in Deadpool?
Yeah, it's all over the place.
But I'm a huge X-Men fan. I love the cartoon growing up. I love the movies except for a couple. I was really excited for this movie, and I was really disappointed to hear what everyone said.
Are you still excited about the next Wolverine movie?
Yes, because it's rated R.
Okay.
And they're going, it's Hugh Jackman's last chance. Mm-hmm. Well, it's his last time he's going to be playing this role. I don't think he's going to go out with a bad note. He wants to deliver the Wolverine. The fact that they're making it rated R, it tells you that he's giving you the Wolverine that you've always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a great send-off for him.
I hope so.
I hope so.
All right. Well, with that, let's get over to some international numbers. Mm-hmm. Because although Alice Through the Looking Glass was just laughable here.
Not yet.
That is a preview for what's going to happen after our international numbers, which will be our international numbers game. But first, we have to talk about how Disney's Alice Through the Looking Glass topped the foreign box office. It earned a respectable $65 million this weekend from nearly 80 foreign territories.
Ooh, that's a lot of territories.
Yeah. However, the fantasy adventure is still staring at a write down after bombing domestically. Obviously, we already talked about it earning about 28.1 in its opening weekend. By the time it ends its run, the follow-up to 2010's Alice in Wonderland will have a hard time even earning half of its predecessor's $1 billion global
haul. The original only like $300 million domestic.
Johnny Depp probably made $20 million just for doing this.
He signs on. Yeah, he gets 20 base and then gets back in. Like pirates. He bought an island off of pirates.
Well, on a little bit of a better note, Alice Through the Looking Glass did particularly well in China, where it generated an estimated $27.1 million. Other territories where it performed well included Mexico, $5 million, Russia, $4.6 million, and Brazil with $4.1 million. So
decent numbers.
Let me tell
you,
one thing I'll miss about this show,
China,
is almost as much as hanging out with you guys every week. Uh-huh. Is talking about the Middle Kingdom. That is China. I've learned so much about China these past 2 years.
I actually have learned about China. I find myself talking about China in just like regular life.
This is a very informative show.
I'm gonna miss.
It's not all fun and games. There's some really legit facts here. And, you know, our next show together, if we all do one, it's going to be about conspiracy theories of China.
It might just be China News Podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's
we should just
start
the whole
move.
Thing just China.
Yeah, we just take stories from the past week from China and discuss them.
I could do 4 hours on that stuff. There'll be no China fatigue.
There will not be.
All right. Well, in its second weekend of international release, Fox's X-Men Apocalypse added $55 million to its haul. The superhero sequel has earned $250.8 million globally. The film has debuted in most major foreign territories, but still has to come out in China June 3rd and Japan August 11th. So those are still on deck. Now we have a movie that we haven't really gotten to talk about on this show yet, but Universal and Legendary's Warcraft got a jump on its domestic release, opening to $31.6 million from 20 foreign territories for a fourth place finish. Although in some of the territories it did open in, I believe, like 11 of them or something, it did get number one.
Really interesting.
So I think it was like Germany.
I heard mixed things. things.
And I heard, you know, Duncan Jones is a good filmmaker, so we'll see if we can handle this. He's a nice guy, so we'll see.
I'm excited to watch this one.
Rest in peace,
David. Another video game adaptation, Sony's The Angry Birds movie, nabbed third place with $31.8 million, bringing its worldwide gross to $223.5 million. Captain America Civil War rounded out the top five with $12.5 million. The comic book adventure is the highest grossing 2016 release, having now earned $1.1 billion worldwide.
That's a hit.
This is what's going on around the world. Everyone keeps getting movies ahead of us. That's what you need to take away from this. China makes lots of money, and now the U.S. doesn't get domestic release.
I don't know what's going on over there.
I'm curious to see how Apocalypse does in China, because usually movies with the letter X in it in China do very well.
Yeah.
They use X way more than the English language.
No, they always do. That and Devil and anything that... you know, Sean Penn is in, or Stallone, they watch as well, and Schwarzenegger.
That's true.
I'm sure they will be coming up later in the show.
They love those
guys.
But
let's get into our international titles.
Right, so let's go. I want to go wide, and I want all three of us to do it.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
It's time for...
What are we doing?
The international title game. Yes, you, Bandiero! Yes, yes! Al escuela y al heroísmo de una revolución, no lo queremos.
It's been a good run.
I just got distracted by the crying.
What were you doing?
Crying.
I was crying because you have that the pink bra under there, and then I pulled out a razor blade.
Oh, and you started cutting it.
Yeah, and tried to cut it off a little bit. That was my.
I don't
my
even
dance.
Think they can see that part. The table cuts it off.
Oh, damn table.
anyway.
No, this has been a fun game of mine that I created.
I'm gonna miss this game.
You know, I created this game on a whim, and
I'm gonna go on a victory. I'm going out on a win.
It never was. It wasn't just China, and it was everything. And there's been some really. It's manifested into what it is today, which is usually all China. I give a shout out to my buddy Wang for for helping me for the last 2 years on these things.
How do you take the news?
He's just counting his money. He doesn't care anymore. He's worth like $1 billion. That guy,
of course.
Yeah, he's the best.
All right, I'm ready. I'm gonna win.
So, for the last time, a foreign movie title game, and I hope you guys enjoyed it for the last 2 years, because I enjoy looking up the titles, and I won't stop. I'll just have fun at my own house, and or go to the park. And
there's something called Twitter. You can always play on Twitter.
That's true. I can do that.
You can do the polls now.
That's true. I can do that.
Which one?
Yeah. I'll never give out my source. Then nobody will ever have Wang's number.
Gotcha.
Okay. Once again, four titles. One is false.
Okay.
Okay.
And they're all from China. Mm-hmm. And the theme is every movie that I'm going to talk about here has the word final in it, because this will be our final show.
Okay, final. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Final Destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where those stupid kids do stupid things and everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely Ming.
Okay.
Absolutely Ming.
Absolutely Ming.
Ming?
Ming is like, I don't know.
Kind of like Flash Gordon Ming?
Yeah, it's like Emperor Ming? Ho Chi Ming or Ming, whatever his name is.
Ming Dynasty?
Yeah, Ming Dynasty, that guy too. Children of the Corn.
Okay.
Two, the final, three.
I was going to say, where's the final?
Children of the Corn, the final sacrifice.
Okay.
Wrong Gate of Hell with Devil Children.
That makes sense.
Wrong Gate of Hell with Devil Children.
Okay.
Wrong Gate of Hell with Devil Children.
Final Analysis. A Richard Gere, Kim Basinger, steamy movie where good stuff was happening.
Peace.
Hot and Delicate.
Hot and Delicate.
Mm. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Hot and Delicate. That's
okay. Only on the weekends, though.
Okay.
Naked Gun, 33 and a half, The Final Insult.
Yes.
Total Idiot, Offline Motion.
Okay.
So we're going to go with...
I've got mine.
We're going to go with again.
Let's hear it again.
Final Destination, Absolutely Ming. Children of the Corn, whatever it is, too, I think. The Final Sacrifice. Wrong Gate of Hell with Devil Children. Final Analysis. Hot and Delicate. Naked Gun 33 and a half, The Final Insult. Mm-hmm. Total Idiot, Offline Motion.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Number three, because it's the only one that you looked up on. Each time you read it, instead of reading it down, you would go.
Okay.
What, Hot and Delicate?
Yeah. Fine and Delicate.
Change my Twitter handle to that, maybe.
That is the lie.
It's definitely not the last one. I don't think it's the first one. I think it's two or three.
I okay. picked three.
I know. I might ride with you on this last one because hot and delicate? Is that what it is?
Hot and delicate.
Or was it? I thought it was fine and delicate.
What's no, it's hot and delicate.
Repeat the second one.
Whatever. I still pick it.
The second one is Children of the Corn, Final Sacrifice, Wrong Gate of Hell with Devil Children.
Right, I'm going to go number two.
Okay.
What do I get if
let's
I win?
Let's hear the engineer.
Steven, want to go?
Steven, where are you feeling?
What do I get if I win?
I think the false one's absolutely Ming.
Mm. Wow.
Because okay. I just, I think I remember seeing like the Japanese version of that movie, like a poster for it, and it wasn't. It
this,
wasn't that.
This is the Chinese one, though.
Oh, this is the Chinese one. I still, I, yeah, I can't, I don't think it's.
So eliminate one of us.
If I win, I would like some ice cream.
Did one of us get it right?
Yeah, I'll give you some ice cream. Okay. We'll do that. Unfortunately, Steven, you are wrong. It's definitely called Absolutely Ming.
Okay, so it's between you
so
and me.
So weird.
Come on. Come on.
JT, you are wrong as well.
No! Damn it.
And so is Sarah.
What?
Oh! Yes. So I win my last game.
Pitstock wins the last game.
It's total idiot offline motion. I don't even know what that means. I had to. I just
totally
made that
thought
up.
I won.
I just totally made
I
it up.
I was convinced.
It's fitting that I win my last
game. Yeah, it is.
That
yeah,
is
well
pretty
done.
Poetic.
Everybody picked three different ones, too, and yeah. not that one. You, I was ready to give the title to somebody.
I don't think you've ever won.
Sometimes, not really.
I really
once
don't.
Or twice.
Once or twice.
Because
usually
really
some of them are so
won.
Ridiculous. It's not totally idiot offline motion. I don't
wow.
know what it is. I think it has something to do with OJ in it or something.
Kind of
it's
makes
kind
sense.
Of fitting.
Kind of
it's
makes,
kind
yeah,
of
it's
nice.
Kind of fitting.
I'll take that. Yeah.
We'll take it.
Though. Adios Farm movie title game. Untold later.
I kind of feel like I yeah. thought I knew him.
Yeah.
That
and
was
then
a great
I was just
game.
Wrong.
You know, JT made up a great, had a great little intro to it. That caught on. It was Ivan Drago yeah. and.
I pulled three clips. It's Drago from Rocky IV.
Yep.
It's Fidel Castro mm-hmm. giving a speech. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is a random Japanese guy yelling, I love you.
Oh, Jimmy.
yeah.
Jimmy from Jimmy's Comics in the Bronx, I think.
Yeah, so that was weird.
I used to go to this comic store in the Bronx. It was about as big as this table, and there was a Japanese guy named Jimmy, and he only let one person in at a time.
Wow, sounds amazing.
He was scared. He used to sell like loose G.I. Joe figures. I don't know where he found him. He's the best.
He is the best.
I think he's dead now. That was a long time ago.
Okay.
Where are we at?
Well, I'm about to give the show basically over to you guys because yes. I don't even have the notes. I literally have one line on my piece of paper that says, top five grossing Stallone and Sean Penn.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't even finish with movies. It
well,
just
obviously
says Stallone and
be,
Sean Penn.
That obviously was going to be the case.
Yeah, there's just no other way to end the show but with those two legends.
I think we filled in not only, people are very – more up on China,
mm-hmm.
but I think people know about Stallone more.
Yep.
I think people know about Sean Penn more.
Mm-hmm.
I think people know about a great appreciation for two fine people.
Okay. One of my favorite moments from being on a show was finding out Stallone won the Golden Globe.
Absolutely.
Live on
yep.
the show.
We were live on the show. I cried.
It was a magical moment.
Yeah, it was magical. It was just unbelievable stuff.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe one of our fans will do a nice little retrospect of all of our, maybe a 5-minute clip of all the best moments of Box Office Breakdown, and we'll retweet it or something like that.
Let's talk a little bit about
or
the
maybe
end.
The many looks of Sarah.
I thought you wanted to talk yeah. about.
Well, we had the many looks of Sarah.
I did appreciate that.
We had fake posters.
I have a few memories I'll share at the end of the show.
Yes, okay. Correct. So we're going to go with my favorite top five Sean Penn movies. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no money, no studios, just Sean Penn.
Yes.
At his best.
Okay. Can't wait to hear these.
And yeah. I will probably give you how much money they made.
Okay, good. Okay.
But you can do that.
Teamwork.
One of them is didn't make too much money, but it's called At Close Range.
Ooh, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken, Sean Penn, mm-hmm. Mary Stuart Masterson.
Old school.
86.
Yeah. 86.
Yeah. Brought in $2.3 million. Mm.
Total?
I believe so.
No way.
Lifetime growth.
It was a very small
at close range.
Yeah.
2.3.
I guarantee very few people listening to this right now has even heard mm-hmm. of this movie.
Yes. And hopefully they'll watch it.
Yeah. And I only heard about it because Sean Penn.
Right. Of
he
course.
He was only in like 83 theaters.
Yeah. It was a very small friend. You
small
could find
movie,
it.
But very, very good. It was like a Midtown, I was in Texas or something.
It's available on Blu-ray, but it's very limited copies. So one copy of that Blu-ray will cost you like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Because it's just a very obscure film.
$47 if it goes to Sean Penn's pocket to find chicks. And then $3 pays for the shipping and handling.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, great movie. Next one, Casualties of War.
Ooh, Brian 89. Brian De Palma. Mm-hmm. Michael J. Fox trying to do a serious Vietnam drama.
It was good.
It's very good.
It's a great movie. I bought it on Blu-ray. 18.6
million.
Yes.
Listen to this cast. Jamie Foxx is the lead.
Yep.
Sean Penn as the main villain, kind of leader of the platoon. John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. John C. Reilly.
Yep. Fantastic. Very. I mean, he crushed this.
He has one of my favorite lines in the movies where Michael J. Fox is, it's raining. I don't want to get into some of what happens in the movie because it's really graphic. It's about wartime.
It's hardcore.
But Michael J. Fox is devastated, and Sean Penn comes out, takes his helmet off. It's raining. He goes, he looks at Michael J. Fox. He goes, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because I'm the meanest motherfucker in the valley.
Absolutely.
And that was like the line from that movie where I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, he depicts what war makes people.
Yeah.
He is just a ruthless... Mm-hmm. He leaves it all on the table there.
Yeah.
People who want to kill him, he's going to kill them. Pretty much what it is.
It's not an easy movie to watch, but Brian De Palma is a great filmmaker, and Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox give great performances.
Crushed it. Next one is Carlito's Way.
Poof.
93.
This movie.
37 million.
This movie is one of my all-time favorites.
It's a great gangster movie.
Al Pacino.
Yep.
Sean Penn in full.
Yep.
You describe it.
Yeah, and Penelope. I mean, this is the best movie hair of all time on Sean Penn. He was Kleinfeld.
Yes.
Sean Penn only did this movie.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to get enough money to do his Crossing Guard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The one he directed.
And the guy winds up, you know.
Yep.
Did he win an Oscar? No, he didn't get nominated. He was nominated.
He won for Dead Man Walking.
But he was nominated for this.
No, he was nominated for Dead Man Walking, yeah.
But he was nominated for this, too.
Was he for Carlito's Way?
Was he nominated for Carlito's Way?
Give it a minute.
I think he got a supporting
role
here.
Here's the deal, man. I watched this movie as a kid, and I knew who Sean Penn was, and I didn't realize it was Sean Penn.
Oh, he was totally
different. Until I grew up and later started revisiting movies, I said, what the f- – that was Sean Penn?
This is some of his best acting of all time. He plays like a straight and narrow lawyer, and then he gets like – he thinks like Pacino's like the man, and he starts getting balls and starts doing some crazy shit.
He gets
involves cocaine, guns, and women.
He gets involved in the gangster life, and he thinks he's a gangster, but he's just – I mean, it's pretty. It's an amazing movie.
It's fantastic on every single level.
Al Pacino's great in it.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx. John Leguizamo again.
Viggo Mortensen even has a great role in it.
Yeah, John Leguizamo too.
Good stuff. Carlito's Way, everybody.
Absolute great movie.
So good.
Sean Penn crushes.
Yep.
He's on the front of a boat with a hair and like doing coke. It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
This is your homework for the rest of your life. Just to watch these movies.
He's basically playing himself.
We're leaving you guys with some gems.
Yeah, these are gems. Obviously, the next one is The Falcon and the Snowman.
Oh, wow. You're going really old school.
Yeah. This is a fantastic movie based on a true story.
Who's the other actor in this?
Timothy Hutton won an Oscar. He won an Oscar.
Timothy
85, Hutt. Brought in $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Timothy Hutton won an Oscar for this.
And you were, by the way, correct. For Carlito's Way, it was he was nominated for a Golden Globe.
For best supporting?
For best performance by an actor in a supporting role.
Okay.
Nice. He's the best. Falcon and Snowman is a very underrated movie. It was Steve Zalian's first produced screenplay. Obviously, the guy went off to do fucking everything in the world.
It's all about CIAs and stuff like that.
Right. It's based on a true story. Tom Cruise is actually in it, but he's uncredited, which is interesting. Yeah. I don't know why that's the case. Maybe Sean Penn was like, if Tom Cruise gets credit, I'm done. They're like, all right, Tom, you're going to sit back and you're going to get nothing here. He's like, what about why? He's like, Sean Penn said so. He's like, whatever. So, you know, Penn played this guy, Andrew Lee. And when Andrew Lee got paroled in 1998, Sean Penn hired him as his personal assistant.
Really?
After this guy's corrupt stuff and crazy stuff. That's the kind of guy Sean Penn is. The monkey who freed him from the jail.
Yeah.
He's in the zoo over at Sean Penn's house.
Of course.
And he parades around his naked girls. He's like, hey, Charlize, go show the monkey. I know this guy got me out of jail. Charlize goes and parades around.
They're broken up.
Monkey always has a cigarette.
The monkey's treated like a king.
He also
he's got a better bed than I do.
I already shaved the monkey's hair to look like his character from Carlito's Way.
I think that's what I heard. This guy, he's just monumentally the best.
My favorite. That's your top five?
No, I got one more.
Okay, excellent.
Obviously, the Fast Times at Ridgemont High is just a crowning achievement in comedy on so many levels,
and it has
and it has the. top five, maybe top two best breast reveals of all time.
That's true.
I was going to go down.
There are two breasts and one woman.
Yeah. So, I almost passed out.
One and two. Those count as the top two.
I almost passed out. Well, no, I mean, I have the top 10. I'll run them through if you guys really want.
No, we don't have time.
Top 10 breast reveals?
No.
Oh, man, it's a big, it's a good game.
Can you say it quickly?
Yeah,
let's go. Run it down.
Okay, yeah. While JT talks about say his.
Mystic River is still to me one of my favorite Sean Penn roles because the range he's able to show in it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
He goes from badass. Yeah, he won an Oscar. He goes from badass to breaking down crying.
Mm-hmm.
The speech he has at the end with Laura Linney is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me.
Is that my daughter?
Is that my daughter in there? Okay.
So good. I said, so number 10, top 10 breast reveals of all time.
I want
to
hear
it. We talked about it on one of JT's movie thing things, but we never got to it. But I did the thing, and here we go.
Let's do it.
Number 10, Halle Berry. Swordfish. Okay. Everybody was waiting for that.
Of course.
Not impressed
I'm
with
not
it.
Letting you go into details on
just
what
one
you
detail.
Think. No.
One detail.
No.
One detail
you
per.
You can run through the list.
All right, Ariel.
People can imagine.
I wasn't impressed with the Ariel.
Anyway, hey.
Terry Hatcher. In The Cool Surface.
I've never even seen that one. Okay.
A little saggy, but
so
okay.
Stop. You cannot. Next. I will not let you do
okay,
the
okay,
list
okay, okay, okay.
if you comment.
Okay, okay. Alyssa Milano, Embrace of the Vampire.
Vampire, yes.
That's Tony Danza was very upset with her when she did this.
Everyone was waiting for that
He
one.
Disowned her. Lisa Bonet.
Oh.
In Angel Heart.
With De Niro and Rourke.
And she had real sex with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin, yeah. That's Oof. What she went full.
Poof.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
That girl's. Whew.
Okay.
She's a number.
Next.
Five. The Girl from him. Just One of the Guys.
Oh, yes. When she reveals it at the prom.
She reveals it at the prom, I mean, and I was like,
phenomenal.
Whoa. I didn't see those coming.
Yeah.
Usually I see them all coming, but I didn't see this one coming. All
right, next.
Four. Fat Bastard from the Austin Powers movie.
Boo.
Great breast.
Get out of here.
Fantastic, actually. Three. Katie Holmes in The Gift.
Oh, yeah. Directed by Sam Raimi.
Yeah. I mean, they commented it on Harold and Kumar, and they were nice.
Mm-hmm.
To list eight, Tom Cruise has never seen them. Number two, like aforementioned, Phoebe Cates.
Of course.
Absolutely. Wow, just when she walked out of that pool, it was something to be – she
slow
was,
it's a slow motion held.
Yeah.
And walking out of the pool.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold was really doing – they had to get him from the bathroom.
So here comes number one. I'm really curious what number one's going to be.
Number one is not even a movie.
Oh, I already know what it is.
You know, it's True Detective.
TD.
Alexandra Daddario in True Detective, which is still – and this – I don't think this will ever be beat. The only thing that could have beat that is something – but I don't want to say it because it's not right. Well, it's right, but
it's the Michael G.
Mine gave it a run for its money. But this is the best breast reveal of all time, no questions asked.
No, I'm not going to.
Nobody
no
even
questions
nobody
asked.
Even cared about what happened in the episode.
The president actually commented on it.
I know, because it was the circumference.
Okay, well that was wonderful. I'm so
it was
glad.
Unbelievable that, stuff.
No,
Jesus, I can't get over that.
We're done with that.
I can't wait to see Baywatch.
Oh gosh,
it's going to be great.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, everybody. Leave you that. Leave
so
you that little gift.
To leave you with that, also, I guess, more homework or something. But we'll get into now how to transition into upcoming films after that wonderful segment.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Not really sure, but we'll go with Popstar is coming out. And to me, I'm sorry, this movie looks horrible.
Really? I've heard actually decent things. A lot of people I know are actually seeing it as we speak.
Really?
There's a screening.
That's Andy Samberg.
There's
right?
a screening tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited because the same guy who directed MacGruber directed this, which is to me is kind of a cult hit now. It's really funny. Mm-hmm. Let's go back and watch it. I love Lonely Island. I always like your music videos.
I like Lonely Island too. I just don't think I can take this long
but
of those concepts.
The fact
I just
that they're shooting it in a documentary style. So they're shooting it like the remember that Justin Bieber movie where it was like
Yeah.
Which you couldn't have paid me to see that movie.
No, but he's making fun of that kind of fact that they would even do something like that.
I think I heard it was based off of Mark Wahlberg's Rise to Fame, like when he was at the Funky Bunch
amazing.
And stuff like that as well.
That'd be amazing.
Like they take a couple of stories that he had and stuff like that.
The reason
I was a lunatic.
The reason I am a little excited is because the pieces he put around him in this, Sarah Silverman, Tim Meadows, there's a bunch of other ones.
Yeah, they're going heavy on social media. He could use a hit, Andy Samberg. I think this might be up his alley. We'll see. I find him funny. He's good. So we'll see.
All right. Yeah. Also coming out is Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. Is that really
Turtles
coming out this week?
Yeah.
Out of the Shadows. aren't you excited?
Yeah. There's glad. So many now I'm actually glad we're not doing a show next week. I'm talk about this junk. It's the worst.
I did not like the first movie.
Michael Bay.
Even though the first movie had a few action scenes that were pretty cool at times, it was not. It's just they got everything. So many things wrong when it comes to Ninja Turtles. I grew up a Ninja Turtles kid. This I will say the sequel does look like it's going more towards cartoon. You got Krang, you got Rocksteady and Bebop. It looks like a step in the right direction. I don't know if it's a big enough step.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too late or if it's a big enough step. Too late and too
small. They just produced it, right? He didn't direct it?
No, he didn't direct it. The first one was directed by Jonathan Liesman.
It's directed by David Green.
Who directed the kids' film Echo last year. Very much like an E.T. vibe.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Kind of to it.
It might do somebody.
Megan Fox is in it.
I do know two people that saw this movie, and they told me they definitely go. The first one was kind of dark and gritty at times. They said this one definitely goes a much bigger direction to the kid fare.
It's 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Better.
How much?
17.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's about right. I wouldn't.
I didn't know the reviews were out already.
Our reviews, critic reviews are out. Let's check how many. Popstar doesn't have any reviews out.
Of course, it doesn't.
I will tomorrow.
It's gonna do.
Day to his friends. Let's see. Six reviews, okay, so five rotten, one fresh.
So it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Go watch 1990 version. It's the best.
Yeah, or just play the Nintendo game. It's
and
way
then
better.
The movie yes, that I want to see that's coming out is Me Before You. Don't. Ugh. It's,
the trailer looks so bad.
Wait, who's
I
in
don't
that?
Care.
Khaleesi from
Amelia Clark.
Oh.
Amelia Clark.
And that's it.
And also the guy from The Hunger Games. He's in The Hunger Games.
Josh Hutcherson or whatever?
No.
No, not one of the main guys. One of the guys who you don't remember his name because he's not important.
No, he was like really good in it. He was the one with the trident.
The Finch?
Oh, that guy. Longbottom.
People liked him.
Yeah, he was fine, but I mean, the trailer for this, have you seen the trailer?
I'm going to see it and it's going to make me cry.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Is it a Nick Sparks movie?
It looks like
it. It looks like it.
It's about a guy in a wheelchair who doesn't want to leave his house, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
If I was in a wheelchair. And she's like, no, I'm going to make you go out. I'm going to use the power of love to show you that life could keep going on.
Oh, so it's like every other movie.
Yes.
It has 62% from critics.
Who directed this thing? Anyone?
Let me check.
Nobody knows.
Directed by Thea Sharrock.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
Yeah. But Amelia Clark's in it. Mm-hmm. Sam Claflin is his name. I'm seeing it. It's going to make me cry, and I'm not going to feel embarrassed about it.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
and I'd rather see it three times than see either Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Popstar.
I'll see Popstar way before.
Yeah, I'll see Popstar before that.
Of course you would.
It has great comedians in it, so you're at least guaranteed, even if it's not from Sandberg, you're guaranteed some side laughs.
There's probably going to be some raunchy fun in there. Sarah Silverman's great.
Yeah.
If she would pop out her stuff, she might have a top 10 breast
she
reveal.
She has. She did a movie a year ago where she did a full shower nude scene.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was when she was like a psycho mom or
something,
right?
All right.
I'm going to have to check that movie out. She's got something on her, boy.
Well, let's see if we can see if we if Steven has anyone on the line for us.
Yeah, guys,
we can talk
go
to
ahead,
a few people
in.
Before we go.
There we go.
I think the number was up on one of the lower thirds earlier.
We could always
in the
talk
episode.
About stuff.
We got the number up.
Yeah,
I mean, this
is up.
You know, we did a lot of good things here. Little Bobby made his first appearance here.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a lot of cool guests.
Finstock
Finstock died here.
First show was just you and me.
We had you
talking.
And me. I was like
I don't
10
even
minutes
remember
late.
What we talked about.
They
walked out the door and they said, we need to get
Christian,
someone.
Christian and Ken Knapsack were like, we're not doing another show with these guys. We have to go find somebody. They basically found Sarah coming out of her own show and like, you want to host a show with these two numbskulls? And she's like, sure.
Yeah.
I never met Sarah before.
And then I came on and was stuck.
And then, then you were stuck. And then you were like, holy shit, who are these fucking crazy people? And we just rolled with it. And so we went there. And, you know, the show's been running fine.
All right, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, nice.
Oh, all right.
Let's see who it is.
Thanks for calling Box Office Breakdown, the final show for these three lovely hosts.
Yes.
What can we do for you?
It's Brian in Miami. I'm really sad. I'm really sad that you guys are finishing up. Really? Really? What am I going to do on Mondays now?
These calls are gonna going to make me cry.
I know.
Really emotional.
I know. Listen, man, we're still going to be around. We'll have other platforms. We're going to do stuff outside the show.
Yeah.
I have a YouTube channel.
There's still going to be a show.
Yeah. The show will still be here, and I think it's going to be new and different and fun.
Yes.
It's going to have a different flavor because different hosts bring different flavors
and
to the show.
And Brian's been a fan since day one. We appreciate that, Brian. And you've been great, and you have had great questions here for the last 2 years, and thanks for the support. We really appreciate it.
The hardest part about leaving the show is the callers mm-hmm. and you guys yeah. being around.
No. Just so working with a team and, you know, coming up with funny bits and laughing. And, you know, we all hang out outside. And
yeah. And Comic-Con last year, I got stopped not just for schmoes mm-hmm. or even Screen Junkie stuff. Almost every other person that I stopped and me at Comic-Con mentioned Box Office Breakdown.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. I don't know how many fans we have, but the fans we do have are really dedicated and mm-hmm. hardcore and, you know, watch religiously, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, that's the main thing that, you know, that keeps on going, you know, everywhere, yeah. man. You know, it's always the fans that just, you know, support mm-hmm. everything always. That, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, that even the schmoes do, you know, and everybody there in Popcorn Talk, which they do, you know, they also have, you know, incredible shows as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the fans that, you know, that get that show support to yeah. everything. And
sure.
that's, you know, that's why you guys, you know, always do a great show every week. It's us fans that give you support, you know, that show you love every week, you know, that always call in, that always tweet at you guys, you know, mm-hmm. about stupid questions or whether it's like Boss Turner, you know, calling in as well just to talk crap with you guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's what keeps you guys going every day.
Absolutely, right? Man. It's a fun time. We destroyed it, man. And
yeah, really fun.
It's fun keeping a smile on people's faces, that's for sure.
Yeah, thanks so much for tuning in all this time. And, you know, keep tuning in, man. Get those box office numbers right here.
Yeah, we're going to be around, dude, I mean, obviously. And then, you know, who knows where we'll be down the road in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might be rich and then you know, hire Sarah to come to my house and do a podcast right from my house. She doesn't even have to do anything.
Or
she could just sit behind
a
mic.
Hopefully you and JTE can do a Sean Penn and Stallone podcast.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
What do you call that? Here. SNS?
Like yeah, just SNS. Or just Badass Central.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. Let me just throw one final question.
Sure.
To you guys,
sure.
You know, just for like the last show. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of this year is coming up. We have a lot of great movies that are going to be coming.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What is your top 5 movies that you're looking forward to seeing this year?
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
A tough one.
This is
in no,
so
in no particular
hard.
Order.
Okay.
No particular order whatsoever.
Okay.
You know, it could be a movie that you have low expectations mm-hmm. for, mm-hmm. high expectations, mm-hmm. minute.
I really want to see Rogue One.
Expectations.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
I'll just list
Rogue One.
I'll list the ones I could think of. Rogue One.
I really mm-hmm. want to see that. I still want to see Assassin's Creed.
Suicide Squad.
I want to see Suicide Squad.
Yep. I really look forward to that Ben Affleck movie, The Accountant.
Yes.
That one is that just mm-hmm. came out. Yeah. Yeah, that looks really good.
There's that one. I'm trying to think if there's anything
I'm
else
trying
on my
to
radar.
Come up, I was thinking of the big budgets, but I yeah. know there's some good like Oscar contenders
yeah.
that I know I'm going to be really
we're
pumped about
forgetting.
Seeing.
Yeah.
I really don't think The Accountant looks good, though.
What else is Red coming out in the fall?
While.
Yeah, The Accountant, that looks fantastic. Anything that Sean Penn has in the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Stallone,
I don't think he has anything dropping this year.
I don't think he does. He's still writing. He's just watching his daughter run 40-yard dashes and stuff like that.
He's just writing off that Creed wave.
Yeah, it's that. Rogue One.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that like is really sticking out right now, but those mm-hmm. three for sure.
Yes, correct.
I'm trying to... I'll think of more.
I'm honestly... so sorry.
No, go ahead.
So sorry if I cut you off. No, I'm really looking forward to seeing Star Wars Rogue One as well. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean every Star Wars fan is looking forward to that.
That's all we think about. It's all we think comes to mind.
but I'm also looking forward to seeing like some underrated movies that are going to be coming out this year. Say for example like The Conjuring 2, which is going to be coming mm-hmm. out next week, I believe. That one's gonna look awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also a few on the other small horror movies that are going to be coming out this year. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of them I saw was going to be coming out this year.
I think Doctor Strange is kind of weird.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, though, but I think Marvel.
Doctor Strange looks really good as well.
Independence Day.
I don't think the trailer really hooked me on mm-hmm. honestly.
Really?
I thought it was a teaser, though.
I'm going to give it another shot.
If they show another trailer for it and mm-hmm. it really gets everybody's attention, then that will be
I think so.
Cool.
Cuz they showed some of special effects in the first one, but they're working on those effects. Apparently this movie has more effects than most of the other Marvel films.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the next trailer is going to probably blow some minds.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they throw in like an Inception bomb.
You just want the bomb.
That would be nice.
We have a new caller.
All right, guys. We got to let you go, buddy.
Thanks, Brian.
You're breaking up. Thank you so much for staying and calling. You're the best.
I'll also see the new Harry Potter movie.
Hello.
Who we got?
Yeah, Ken.
Oh, we're super staticky.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Do you have your computer on or maybe lower that
so we can hear you?
Oh, no.
I think we lost him.
We lost him.
Yeah, it was super staticky.
Yeah,
it was just super staticky. Really... We might have gotten disconnected.
Yeah, it's funny. I think, you know, like I said, it's, you know, Brian, like I said, he's been, I think he was one of the first callers we ever had. You know?
Shout out to Kristen, too.
Yeah, Kristen and a couple other people.
Dylan.
Dylan was who did great stuff for the show. Yeah, Dylan was fantastic for the show. Helped us out with our Facebook page and our likes and all these other things, and that means a lot as well.
Competitions and everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of those people will always have they come out here and visit us, and we'll treat them like kings.
One of my favorite jokes from the show was early on the box trolls.
No, the box trolls was one of the best jokes of all time.
When we did this whole thing about the movie Box Trolls was coming up, and you told the joke about a little person.
No,
it's the 1950s, and like, we're gonna box troll somebody.
Box troll them.
So when you put a little person in a box, and they stabbed you in the heart,
and you box troll.
You box troll.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, who do we got?
Hey, my name is Ken. I'm a big fan of the show.
The pit boss.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, I just want to say I was there at the beginning when you two clown princes of debauchery tried really hard to do a serious show. And then, like you said earlier, this beacon of light walked out of the studio named Sarah Stratton. And I'm so glad she was able to try to class you two guys up.
I tried. I think I failed.
Wasn't her fault. Wasn't your fault, Sarah. You're great at what you do. You have two of the biggest, degenerates to work with. But you guys always put on an entertaining show, and I know the fans will miss what you three did, and there's more things to come with Popcorn Talk and Box Office Breakdown, I'm sure, but you guys will always have a special place in the hearts of some really sick people.
Absolutely. No, and I told you, when Ken, after me and JT were like midway through the show, I saw Ken's face. I'm like, man, we're in big trouble. I go, this is going to be big trouble. Although me and JT thought it, we were like, we just killed it. We just destroyed this whole thing.
What are you talking about? Stallone for 30 minutes? That was great.
Yeah, within 10 minutes, Sarah was hired as the new host. That quick.
I mean, honestly.
We hired her in the parking lot.
If you happened to walk by the studio at that point, you might have been the host of the show.
I just walked right in. They didn't have to do anything.
They walked out and were like, oh.
They asked somebody. There was
very lucky.
There was a Chick-fil-A. Then some worker came out, and Ken's like, you want to do a show? He was delirious.
Some guy was delivering pizza, didn't speak English. They're like, you want to host the show?
Yeah, you want to do a show?
You know, it was great, like having Ken guest host on the show before.
Absolutely.
All the people we've had come in. Yes, Ken. Ace, Boxer,
Mark Ellis,
Steven, Roxy, tons of people.
Little Bobby, everybody.
Bobby is not going to get thank
JT's
you
JT's Asian friend.
Yeah, Stanley from the 22 Jump Street.
Yeah. We had
you guys are great, though. I am a little concerned, though, Tom. You had that list of the best boob reveals, and you didn't have anything on paper. You just had that from memory.
Absolutely. I had it written.
Full list.
I have it tattooed on my wrist.
He actually has a 20 up.
I would have put Demi Moore on there from Indecent Proposal, though.
That wasn't a bad one. Yeah, but she showed them too much. Yeah, but then she did it in striptease, and you get...
Oversaturation.
Yeah, oversaturation. Breast.
Aren't you going to miss that, Sarah?
Oh my gosh!
That kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to be happy to have at least some of your dignity back? You're going to miss these guys.
This whole show, I've just been sitting over here blushing because it's just been boobs, Stallone, and Sean Penn.
I mean, the three.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm going to have to find somebody else to harass.
We might start a podcast called Three Great Things, and each episode we talk about Sean Penn, Stallone, and boobs.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll call it Three Great Things.
That was my idea, so it deserves some credit.
I'll let some other callers call in. I know you have some fans. I just want to say I'm proud of the three of you and the work you did and the fine people at AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk. I'm glad they let you kind of go crazy and make up your crazy games and say borderline offensive things. You guys are great, and best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
You're the best.
See you at work, buddy.
All right. I think we have time for.
See, we got friends in high places, you know.
Ken, you
know. New caller.
Do we have a caller on the line?
Do we?
Hey, on Box Office Breakdown, who do we got?
We have no one.
This is Cody Hall.
We have the silence. Someone is calling just
they're too emotional
in
mourning. To talk. They're too they emotional.
They couldn't say yeah, goodbye to us.
Some people might be crying. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a sign for us to kind of
no, I mean, we had, you know, off. Somebody won a Kennedy the, you know, special Tiger shirt from me.
That's right. Yeah.
We've sent out Blu-rays. We've yep. sent out fun stuff. I mean, as much as we can. We're on a limited budget here, obviously.
Of course.
You know.
Sarah, remember what was the $1 billion? What was the question where you said you wanted to, like, own Antarctica?
I still, if yeah. I could, if I could just, like, get a wish granted, I would just own Antarctica.
That was an interesting one. My, yeah. Like a Game of Thrones set.
Yeah.
And you then know, and the Dapudito shirt that Sarah mm-hmm. put on and Roxy put it on.
Yes. Roxy stole it from me for a long time.
I yeah, just wanted right. to say, Sarah, you're the prettiest girl I've ever worked with. And, aww. You know, looking over, you know, to my right has been a joy for the last 2 years.
Thank you very much.
You're not too bad. You're not too bad either, JT. Thanks. But still, I mean.
JT, who's really talking my about you.
Because you're
yeah, no, you know. You know. So that, yeah, that's man. That with that. But, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun times. Mm-hmm. And I think we brought a lot of fun to people and, you know, kept a smile.
This is like my
face.
Dose of laughter for the week. I can I always know. Count on, like. Some just, good laughs before, yeah. after, and during.
Well, we'll just have some late night conversations. We're, I'll make mm-hmm. you laugh.
I will do everything I can to make sure we still do stuff on the side. I don't know where.
Yeah.
But I will
know when,
I will make sure when.
We can't, mm-hmm. We're not very consistent.
This will not be the last time you see all three of us in some form of format.
Yeah.
We'll get together and do things just because we like hanging out with each other.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Whether it's yeah. like well, shooting, you know, your show or coming on Schmoes or whatever the case may be.
Whatever it could be.
You know? So if you guys came to Popcorn Talk Network to watch mm-hmm. us here at Box Office Breakdown, please stick around because there are going to be other hosts carrying on the legacy mm-hmm. of this show. I already know they're going to be great because all the other Popcorn Talk shows do have fantastic hosts, from DC Movie mm-hmm. News to Marvel to... We've met so many friends here, and mm-hmm. I really recommend looking up their shows, looking up AfterBuzz TV, BHL, I don't even know how to say goodbye, but you can still find us, or mostly them, on Twitter.
Screw it. We're going
to
do a 24-hour show. We're not going yeah, anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
We're just going to do 24
gonna
straight.
Shoot it live.
We're not leaving.
We're going to shoot live. It live.
Yeah, yeah so. It's been a pleasure. The memories will never be forgotten, and I can't wait to see what we do in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It ain't over to the fat lady sings can or somebody one, else get, wears a that booty shirt.
Can we get one more poof?
Poof. Keep watching those now.
Keep watching those numbers.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.